Hey everyone, this is Lou and Marty, and we're trying something new. We're going to be doing a podcast report on new things and round up our recent reports on APKs, new assets, and all our findings. We're still fairly new to this, so let us know what you think and give us some feedback on either Twitter or Discord. I'm Louie MD, or Lou as I'm called most of the time by our other host Marty, who you'll hear from a bit later, and we're calling the podcast Tales from the Mine. We'll be putting it out on our website at pokemines.com and pretty much everywhere else you can find podcasts. The goal of this podcast is to talk about all the stuff we data mine, put together in one podcast for you to listen to so you can get our views and speculations on what's to come, review existing features and announcements, and talk about what we got right and what we got wrong. There's no schedule for this podcast. We're focusing on data mining. There's already loads of podcasts talking about Pokemon Go news out there. We'll be making new episodes when we have enough to talk about, most likely after major releases of Pokemon Go. And we'll be trying to keep our episodes below 30 minutes if we can, but today we'll be going for a bit longer than that. We decided to break the show up into two main sections, the first of which we're calling Fake News, in which we'll go over the recent official announcements from Niantic and talk about what we already know about them, what we got wrong, what we got right, and the events they haven't yet announced and which we data mined. The second section will be where we discuss unreleased features we found, and we'll try to explain them as sometimes when looking at our teardowns, it's a lot of reading and it's not super clear how we think they might work. This episode will be a bit longer, going into some unreleased features we previously found over the last 8 to 10 months that still haven't released and where we think they might be going. So with that, let's get into our fake news section, where Marty will be taking over.
So I guess the first event that we've had is the Secrets of the Jungle event. That's what we're currently in at the time of this recording. There was a surprise to us. Lou, did you expect Zoraid at all in anything that we've data mined?
Not that we data mined, no. I kind of expected it once they teased the announcement. But yeah, there was nothing suggesting that we found that Zoraid was coming at any point.
Yeah, they pulled a fast one on us, those bastards.
Yeah, they're usually not very sneaky on those sort of drops, but yeah, Zoraid, they've left very much until the last minute before they put that one in there.
Yeah, I think it only went, like, they only pushed it live within like an hour or so, right?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was pretty soon beforehand.
Yeah, very last minute. And then the stickers were a few days before, I think, after the announcement, but they did push the stickers ahead of Zoraid, because maybe that's their priorities, is stickers over Pokemon.
Or maybe just different teams inside that handled them, to be fair.
That's not as funny, though. But yes, that's probably what it is. Cool. And then there was the big Halloween October update blog posts. Officially, there's no news. There isn't anything other than that teaser about the Halloween event. But we have a lot of information, which we'll get into, about the Halloween event that we think we have a pretty good idea of what this event will entail. There's obviously going to be like bonuses and specific spawns and things like that we obviously have no way to data mine. But we'll get into that. So just going through their October events, raid bosses, sometimes we have signs that these are coming up, sometimes we don't. I think this is one of the times that we obviously didn't, because they're just reused raid bosses. There's no changes to them, there's nothing fancy with them. They're all pushed, but the big thing with both Gensect and Giratina is they both should be able to form change, and neither one of them can form change.
Yeah, so far we've had nothing other than Furfru. It's the only thing that can change form so far.
Yeah, and you're really hoping for Giratina to change.
Yeah, I mean, if Niantic's slow rolling it, it's, you know, that's kind of Niantic's game at this point, to be fair. But I'm hoping at least if we're getting a raid boss that can form change like Giratina, they actually give us the option to change form when it becomes a raid boss again.
Mm-hmm.
Although saying that, we've got Genesect at the moment, and that can form change, and that can't yet. So maybe I'm completely wrong on that fight side.
Well, we'll see. It would be Gensect should be able to change form as well. Like in the main series, it's like swapping out the disc, but like, yeah. I guess in Pogo, it would be, you know, just the
changing
change
the
form.
Drive.
For...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I get, and the cool thing in the code is that when you form change, like the actual Pokemon gets completely regenerated. Like it's kind of like evolution, where like the Pokemon gets remade, and so that's why there was that bug with Furfru with the moves rerolling, is because they actually do reroll. They need to tell the new Pokemon to use the same moves, and so in a Pokemon like Gensect, that all the Technical Blasts are different types, it would actually change that type to whatever the new one is, which is a little bit more interesting than a few poodles with hats.
Which would also require it to change its moves as well, because the techno bars would have to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then the last raid boss is just a troll at this point. Darkrai with Sludge Bomb. As people remember, or you may not remember, Dark Void, Darkrai's signature move was pushed a few weeks before the Halloween event last year. Everyone was convinced that it was going to get Dark Void. It didn't, and now it's back with a signature, or with a special move, and it's not Dark Void.
Yeah, it's really peculiar. I can't remember if... Were stats added for Dark Void as well?
I'm pretty sure. Let me just double check our fancy... oh, no, it wasn't actually. Yeah, Dark Void's not in the Game Master.
Okay.
Yeah, so we don't know what that is. We were almost fake news there.
That's why we check.
So yeah, that still needs to be pushed. It would be hilarious if they push Dark Void stats just to fuck with us like an hour before the event goes live, and they still don't use it anywhere. I mean,
it wouldn't surprise me. They've done stuff like that with us before.
So we'll see if anything happens there. Mega Absol, I think that was a surprise to us as well. We have 3D assets that were pushed a while ago, but still no 2D assets. And obviously nothing in the Game Master. Obviously Megas have taken like a large hiatus, and they're coming back now.
Yeah, it's quite weird. It felt like there was a reason they hadn't been around for a while, and then all of a sudden we're getting new Megas again, which is kind of a strange thing to all of a sudden drop on us.
Yeah, exactly. That's where my thoughts as well. Like, is there, like, from our perspective, there's nothing really that changed with Megas. They just either forgot about Megas or just stopped pushing them out, or it was weird. But yeah, Mega Absol's back, so we'll be looking for those Game Master updates and assets hopefully in the next couple weeks. Niantic's birthday event. We don't have much info over this. There's not really any official announcement other than you get a box if you log in on that day. And it looks like there's a badge associated with it as well. There is a badge for Pokemon Go 2021. Yay. So get your badges and boxes. But the Halloween event is... we have quite a bit. So again, officially, there's no real information about it. Yeah, maybe let's go through all the different things we know about the Halloween event, and kind of just discuss where we'll what we know and what it'll be part of. Do you want to take this section?
Yeah. So we know it's going to be a two-part event. Originally, it was just called Part One and Part Two, I think, but it actually has names now, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, Halloween Mischief, I think.
Yeah, which I guess fits in with the Season of Mischief, doesn't it? So we'll carry on with that.
Is that what that means?
I know. So strange.
Oh, so clever.
We know there's going to be a Halloween Cup, and some research requires you to take part in the Halloween Cup. So it looks like that will probably be part of special research or time-limited research. Probably time-limited, actually, thinking about it. That requires
it would
to...
make way more. Yeah, I can imagine it's special research and the Halloween Cup goes away.
It's like, you got to wait till next year now. there's one for battling and one that requires wins as well. So that would be interesting to see how people enjoy being forced into Go Battle League a bit more, because you know how much everyone loves doing that.
The battlers will like it.
Yes, they will. I've not even started this season yet. I don't know about yourself, but I've not even done anything.
I got to rank 5 yesterday. I do like playing the open meta. I don't care too much about, but I do like the custom metas and things like that. That was what I really liked about the Sylph Cups when I used to do those. And I was actually legitimately thinking that like the reason why I don't do GBL more is because there's not really a reason to do it. And this would actually give me a reason. Oh, I have to do it for the quests. Okay, cool. Like, I will... Not that I don't want to. It's just, like, now I have extra incentive to do it. The win quests, though, I hope that's not, like, win 10 Halloween Cup, because I'm not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, it does seem a bit of an odd one, but we'll see. I mean, for me, like GBL I did for Elite TMs, and now I'm sitting on a dozen of each TM, and it's just like, there's not much point in me doing these anymore. So it's mm-hmm. taken a back burner for me. I'm never going to get to the ranks to unlock all the gear, so.
Yeah, same. I will never get to rank 24. As much as I want those poses, it's just not possible.
I've got my Pikachu. That's good enough for me. I'll eventually trade a shiny off someone.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, back to the Halloween stuff. We're pretty sure at this point we're going to be seeing Trevelyan, Fantop, and Punkaboo coming forward. So that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. We've got Willow talking about both of those, and Punkaboo's even getting its very own collection challenge. We don't know what's going to be in the collection challenge, because obviously we won't know that till it actually hits the game, but they also added the different sizes of Punkaboo. So if you don't know from the main games, Punkaboo has many different sizes, and in Pokemon Go we have extra, extra small, medium, extra large, and extra, extra large. And those sizes, actually, if you're on the latest version, you'll start seeing on the Pokemon already in your collection as well. They're in the filters already, so if you search XS, you'll get your extra small stuff. If you search XS, you get extra, extra small if you've got any. I don't, but I've seen a few on Reddit now where people posting their extra, extra small Pokemon, which is quite interesting. That's already been activated on all of those.
Mm-hmm.
So have you checked, Marty, you've had it?
No, I have not checked. I don't care what the size is personally. It's like, oh, cool, you're extra small. What am I going to... Like, it hasn't... Like, but actually, as we get into the compare challenge, it will matter, which we'll get into in the later part of the show. But yeah. It will start to matter. But as of right now, I see no reason to care.
Oh, yeah. I've never bothered with it. But I have used it for local competitions before, like the heaviest shiny and that sort of thing at community days.
Oh, true. And even at the Go Fest, they would, like, when they do, like, the shirt raffle, or not raffles, but, like, the shirt competitions and stuff, they would, like, shout out who has, like, the heaviest Snorlax and stuff like that.
Yeah, they did that sort of thing as well. Yeah, that's true. I earned my t-shirt in PvP somehow.
And actually, I can't even check. I just tried booting up the game and looking at the filters. I have a macro that's double X, which shows all my gym defenders. So I can't even load these new ones up, but let's try turning that off now. No, not anything. I didn't even look. Is it by XXS? What's the actual search filter?
Just XXS or XXL or XS.
Oh, wait, I'm not on the latest update. What am I? I'm like, this isn't... I'm on 219 still. I didn't update my actual phone, just our data mining stuff. Yeah, that won't work.
Marty isn't as brave as me.
No, I normally wait until it at least hits the Play Store, because it, as of this recording, 221 is still in this weird limbo state of it's uploaded to the Play Store, but Niantic hasn't approved the update to go out live, meaning that they don't want it to be released yet.
You say that. They do sometimes just forget as well.
This is just my gut. Like, what used to happen is that we would hit, it would be uploaded to the APK or uploaded to the Play Store, and then within like 4 hours it would go live. And that was consistently. But then once we started like reporting on APKs, when they would, when like we would report it, like, oh, this just hit the Play Store, it's not released yet, like we've started to see in the last couple months, like, days go by between like us reporting on it and then it actually starting to roll out. And so I don't know if there's a correlation there, or if they're like, they're using this as like, oh, okay, so like they know that it exists, we'll wait for people to like upload it to APK Mirror, and so it's like they're testing an even smaller group of people with the update because it's not even on Google Test Flight or whatever it's called.
True, but we do sometimes see it uploaded to the Samsung store, and that same APK doesn't come to the Play Store for a few days. We have seen that is also true as well. Right, sorry, doesn't get approved on the Play Store for a few days.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's just they just forget about it. So who knows? But yeah, as of right now, 221 is still not officially publicly available anywhere. You have to download it from APK Mirror from people like us cleverly finding it before it's released. The scandal.
How dare we?
How dare we? But yeah, I guess back to Halloween stuff.
Yeah, we've got...
Yeah, I guess the next one is Yanmask, right?
Yeah, so yeah. It's nice to see Yanmask coming back. I don't know about you, but I need another shiny. So it'd be nice to try and get some of those. But we've got both the regular one and the Galarian one coming back. Although we're not sure if they're going to be... Well, Yanmask will probably be in the wild, but we're not sure about the Galarian one. It seemed like he only mentioned it once in the text. So it might just be a one and done again.
It's, yeah, that was the vibe I got, is it sounded like a one and done, because it doesn't mention... I did, to answer your question, I did get a shiny Yanmask Galarian. I wish Galarian. you know, but obviously... But I obviously need another Galarian Yanmask to actually complete my living decks, because you obviously only got one last year.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, no, I did get a shiny. I guess I could need a second shiny for Kofagris. So... Something to work towards.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll see Sphericomb this year in the research.
It's in, it's in researches now for October.
Yes, but I didn't think we'll see it in special research for Halloween like we have for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's probably done.
Yeah, I feel like the fact that it's in research already for the whole month of October most likely probably means that they're done with Sphericomb as a special thing now.
Yeah, Yanmask is now the new thing for the next 4 years.
Yeah. And we've got Hooper as well. Hooper's got more research for Halloween, because of course it has. That's going on for what, another 2 months still? This season started in September, right?
Yeah, I think so. It should go until November. So.
Yeah, so we've still got another 2 months of Hooper research. There wasn't much interesting. You can go along and read the text on the website if you want to have a read. But yeah, it's really just a few more things from Professor Willow about the spooky stuff happening at Halloween and how Hooper might be related to it still, because Hooper is responsible for everything in Pokemon Go now.
At least this one's a little bit more related because it's a ghost. Yes. But
it won't be long until they're blaming Cooper for the bugs as well.
Yeah, I wonder why the fascination with Hooper for some reason. Like, it's cool. I like the concept of like focusing a season around like a reveal like this, because up to this point I felt like the seasons are just fancy marketing names that really don't affect anything, and at least this has an overarching theme, which I think is really cool. But I'm just curious as to why Hoopa. And it's also crazy to think that we've gotten three mythicals in like what, a month?
True, but at the same time we've got a lot of mythicals left to put in the game. We've got the Ultra Beast still to come, and I can see Ultra Beast maybe being part of future research coming forward as well. So I think Niantic might be using...
No, they skipped Ultra Beasts. They just skipped it right to Gen 8. No, it's too difficult.
True. But yeah, I think this might be a way we see a lot of Pokemon getting released going forward, is these special researches throughout the whole season, given overarching theme, which I'm fine with. It's an interesting way of doing it. I like the progressive research. It's a bit annoying that they're so short. Like, it's usually one page and done each time. It'd be nice if they were a bit longer, but maybe we'll see some changes going forward.
I think the shortness is fine when there's like another research happening, like with the event starts, like you know, like Fashion Week or whatever. It's like you had like both researches going on at the same time or whatever, right? So like I'm fine with like one of them being short if the other one, but when there's nothing else going on, then yeah, a few more pages would be good to do a few more things, for sure.
And then yeah, we've got the Halloween stickers, which hopefully you've all seen the graphic for already as well. But we've got, if you've seen the Pokemon Center plushies for this year, we've got the Pikachu, the Piplup, and the Drifblim. So all of those stickers are in the store, and they've also had not costumes that we can see pushed to the game yet, but their hats have been pushed to the game, which is part of the new asset system they're using, where they push them separately now. So it looks like we will be getting all three of those forms in the game, probably for Halloween as well.
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty good costumes. Compared to a lot of the normal costumes, those are very exciting costumes.
I already own two of them. I have the Pikachu and the Drifblim.
Oh, nice.
I care too much.
Is that the one with the donut, or is that...
Piplup's got the donut.
The donut's the one I want, but it doesn't look like that asset was pushed, though.
No, I don't think he got the donut. I think only the plush has the donut because they weren't exactly the same. I think they only had the hats because Driftblim as well is holding a parcel and Pikachu's holding a letter.
Mm.
So I think they'd just be getting the hats and that'll be it. Although they could still
that's,
add more.
That's true.
Like they could maybe not be done, but I think that might be all we see for Pokemon Go.
True. Pikachu does get the bow tie. So that's something, I guess. But yeah, I guess it's anything that requires like changes to the animation that they're like, no, yeah. We're not doing that.
Pikachu got his flying form. That's probably the best we're getting those sort of changes.
Yeah, yeah. And then the 5-year anniversary one, they just changed one of the balloons because it had nothing to do with the Pokemon.
Oh, that was so silly. I was happy to see another Pikachu, but I was also sad that it means I couldn't farm the old shiny, so I still haven't got that one.
Oh, that's true, because if you don't, yeah, if you're going after that shiny, this is technically a different shiny. Yeah, that's true.
Very rude.
Rip.
And yeah, it also looks like we might maybe getting a Rocket event coming up soon, whether it's for Halloween or something else. But as you've probably seen on the Silph Road and Twitter, a lot of people have been reporting getting shinies from regular grunts, which usually happens just before there's a change in what the leaders get, but that hasn't happened yet. And also the recent change in the way shadows are handled in the game as well. So instead of then being required a different form for each shadow, each Pokemon now has its shadow and purification stuff built into its form. So that should also stop where when they released a new shadow, you kept seeing shadows on your nearby for that Pokemon because it now didn't register as being caught. So that should stop that happening as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's not clear if they're using this new system or not. Like they're because the old system is still there for like all the old shadows or whatever. So it'll be interesting to like I don't know if there's any way that we can like really track that unless they like push a mistake to one and not the other or something.
When we get a new shadow and we see it not using the old way and then using the new way, that's probably when we notice it most likely.
Yeah, but I mean like for the addressable assets, like we now have like 6 different asset systems and like some Pokemon are still using the old asset system and some are using new one. Like are they all going to transition over to the new or the new shadow system or like are the old ones still going to use the old system? We'll see if that causes any issues or what happens with that.
I was gonna say, I think if they want to switch all the shadows over to the new system, I think it would likely require some downtime maintenance on their end for the database handling, because I expect
true.
They probably store the form name for which Pokemon you have, and so if the form name's going to be changed from shadow to what will now be normal or regular, they'd have to go through and do that.
That's
all
a good
of
point.
Your Pokemon, so they'd probably have to do some downtime for that to make sure that all went okay.
So they won't do that. Okay, so that's our answer.
We haven't seen actually announced maintenance in quite a long time now. There was one for like, what was it, like maybe 12 hours? I want to say like 18 months ago,
yeah.
Maybe 2 years ago now.
Yeah. They don't shut the game down like very often if they can avoid it.
Although it was entertaining seeing that screen we haven't seen in a long time.
I know, and everyone not knowing what to do with themselves.
And then, yeah, finally, we obviously know Duskull Community Day is around the corner. As this recording, it's in, 5 days' time. So yeah, we've got all the standard stuff for that. There's nothing interesting. You've got your catch Duskulls, evolve your Dusknoirs, etc. And the weather text, which again you can check out on the website if you want to go have a little read before it happens on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, normal community day stuff, but triple Stardust, so you know.
Yeah, I chose the wrong day to not be available for the community day.
Oh no. cool. And that kind of wraps up our fake news section. And then now we're kind of getting into like the more speculation fun stuff. So this section is not going to be normally this large in other episodes. Because there's months of backlog of stuff to talk about that hasn't come to the game yet. This will be a little bit longer than normal. But let's dive into it. This is extra fun because there are some things, as we've said, you know, some of these updates were pushed back in May or even farther that we haven't seen. And we've seen examples of this before, things like form changes, giftable, they were added. like 8 months, 10 months, way before they were ever implemented. Giftable was, you know, the kind of the running joke that's like, you know, giftable when.
Yeah, that was on every single tweet, every single Reddit post we did. The top comment was always giftable. Giftable? Is giftable available? It's just like, no, it's not available yet.
Yeah, it took them a while to get that out, and maybe there's technical limitations, maybe, you know, or, you know, someone like, oh, this is a cool idea, and they implemented it, but it was never actually in the pipeline, and they're like, oh shit, people need it. But yeah, that took a while to get out. So yeah, some of the stuff will probably be in that same vein. Stuff like the Root Maker is definitely approaching, it's at 7-6 months, something like that now, since we first found it. But yeah, I guess the first thing to get into is, you know, the controversial one, subscriptions. We found these several months ago, in a very basic form. In the latest APK 2.2.1, they added a bunch more stuff to subscriptions, a lot of it reaffirming what we already knew, but now kind of more in the code. To start, they are not Pokemon Go specific. They are part of the larger Niantic Lightship platform, as they call it, or in the code it's just niantic.platform. And so this, you know, the Ingress already has a subscription. This could be, you know, migrating the Ingress subscription over. It could, and you know, to start, like, it could just straight up be, you know, Ingress's, like, this is just for Ingress, and they add code into Pokemon Go. There are multiple times where they add code that has nothing to do with Pokemon Go into Pokemon Go just because they share a code base like that. So there is a chance that this could be that, but there's also reason to believe that, yeah, if Ingress got it, then Pokemon Go will also get it. But a lot of the subscription stuff is your normal standard stuff. You know, there's an auto renew time. It can set like what that auto renew time is, anywhere from down to the minute or up to the year. Free trial, grace period, so you don't have to pay, presumably, before you start. What's interesting that's new in this update that we found is you can have more than one subscription. Up to this point, we thought it was going to be one subscription per account, but there's definitely code that supports multiple subscriptions, and you buy them in the store. So it would be like items that you buy in the store. You'd like subscribe to, I don't know, Hat Pikachu for $5 a month, or, you know, 2,000 Pokecoins for $20 a month.
I can see subscriptions like a community day subscription, which is all the community day passes, tickets, sorry. You get all of those, ooh, and it's a cheaper way if you subscribe. And maybe things like a raid subscription that gets you an extra raid pass a day or something. I can see them doing stuff like that, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of it like that. But yeah, that is 100% an option. And obviously we don't know what you get. We're speculating what this subscription is for, and how much it'll cost. I think the Ingress one is like $5 a month, and you get I think someone did the math, it was like $20 or so of value for it. So it's a good deal if you want to subscribe to it. But we'll have to see if would you pay for a subscription if it was, you know, similar $5 a month for $20 of items?
Yeah, it would all depend on what the description was like and that sort of thing, but it's not something I'm opposed to. I play so many free-to-play games that I spend money on, and I have no issue with it. If I play a game, I'm enjoying it, I don't mind spending money. But at the same time, I haven't spent much in Pogo in a while, to be fair, so it'll be interesting to see what it's like.
That's why they're doing the subscriptions. They know. They know Lou has stopped spending money.
What about yourself? Would you?
So they got to get you back. Yeah, I would. I'm not opposed. It's the same thing. I look at, you know, the price of a normal AAA game or whatever, and, you know, that's $80 to $100 Canadian after taxes and stuff. And so, you know, sometimes you get like maybe 20 to 40 hours of gameplay out of that $100 purchase. So, you know, if it's $5-$10 a month, you know, that, and for the amount of hours of gameplay I get out of this game, I think that's more than fair. And it really depends on what you get. You know, if you get, you know, at the very simplest level, if you get, you know, all event tickets, you know, like even if it's like $5 a month and you get like the Mr. Rhyme ticket, which was like 10 or 9 or 10 bucks in Canada, you know, like that's worth it for that month, yeah, and things like that. So yeah, I think
yeah,
I would pay.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, you compare it to a game. I've always compared it to things like a cinema ticket. Like here, a cinema ticket is £12. And you get 90 minutes to 3 hours of entertainment. And it's just like, for what you get for the equivalent in Pogo, it's kind of like, yeah, that's why I have no issue spending money on this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's you know, the time to money value is much greater, I think, in a game like Pogo. And that kind of wraps up the subscriptions and what we know about that. Roots are a really big feature that hasn't been updated in a very long time. It may have gotten an update in this last update with 2.2.1 with postcards. Do you want to go over Roots and what we know from, I guess, from the May update is the last thing we have on this officially in the code?
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned a few times, if you've played Ingress and you know the missions, you're going to be pretty familiar with Roots and what they're like. Because basically, it's the same thing, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is basically identical. You're going to create a route, which is a sequence of... is it just stops or is it stops and gyms?
It is using their what's called forts, which can be stops or gyms in the code.
Yeah.
But I don't specifically remember if it's both... at the very least stops.
Yes. You'll create a route that might be going through your town center, maybe down and along the beach or something like that. That will be your route that you created, and then you can submit that. It will go through some sort of review and approval process. What that is, it could be something to do with Wayfarer. It could be something built into the Pogo app. We'll have to wait and see for that, to be fair. But once it's submitted and it's approved, someone can then play your route. So they can be like, oh, I want to take this route along the beach. Maybe you're in a new town and you want to see what the beach is like. So you can load up the route. And along that route, you being challenged. So it could be with an NPC, like the compare challenges that you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be things like comparing the weight, height, CP, that sort of thing from your Pokemon compared to theirs. And you'll get rewards and stamps added onto your route map for completing those.
Yeah, and you can check out the route map. It's several months ago, but it's on our website. It's like this little like green map thing with like routes that like, and it looks like the stamps are like paths. Like you would like plot out the path that you took with like lines and curves and things like that. And then there's like other stamps that like go on it, and like there's like footprints and stuff like that. So the stamps have like different colors and thing and types that you can like build the route that you've created. Not really sure what those assets, you know, if it's just visual or if there's more like use to it. But when you get into like root badges, maybe this is what ties into the root badge.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of back-end changes to the map, and obviously we saw the effects of that with Hooper and the stars in the sky and that sort of thing. But there was a lot of overlay stuff as well, which could maybe play into this and showing overlays on your map for the routes too.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there was also a few updates ago the top-down view, like there was just like a mode where you could enter top-down view, like for the Rocket Raider, so maybe that is related to routes and being able to like actually see the route from like a bird's eye view kind of idea.
Yeah, it probably would be, I'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can do more than just the compare challenges as well when you're doing the routes. You can trade Pokemon with them. Which is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Might see some stuff like the main games where you're trading maybe some exclusive for other exclusives. Although I feel like they wouldn't be too kind to give us regionals like that, but you never know.
Maybe forms at least.
Yeah, maybe some forms. And trading some gifts as well. But we aren't entirely sure if that's between NPCs and you or other players. So it could be maybe whoever creates a route can leave a Pokemon there and you can choose to trade it when you get there, something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, there's a lot of this code is still like stub code, which is like empty code that's like will be filled in later. So this feature is definitely nowhere near complete as of the last update. It needs a lot more before this thing can go live, and that's one of the things is, you know, what do you trade, who do you trade with, things like that.
And yeah, along the route you can also collect this thing called tappables, which could be anything from the loot table. So the loot table can be dust, candy, stickers, clothing. There's not much that can't be in the loot table, really, other than Pokemon, I think, really. It's basically any item in the game.
Yeah, but there's also coins. So I would like it if they would just spawn coins on the ground. That would be nice.
That would be nice, although...
they will never do that.
Yeah, maybe. We never know, but I don't see it happening, personally. We saw a while ago them adding the ability to get coins from quests, and that still hasn't come forward yet either, has it?
So. No, yeah, this loot table, it's always exciting when things use the loot table because it literally means that the game actively supports whatever you want. So all they need to do is like flip the switch to like have clothing or coins to, like, drop on the ground or come from quests or whatever. And actually, they've done clothing from quests. It took them a long time to, I guess, to do that for the first time. But there's a lot of possibilities. And it's always, like, it's interesting, you know, having people speculate about what the game can do and things like that. And it's, you know, there's a difference between, like, oh, this is a wild, crazy idea that, like, it would be nice for the game to do, or this is a wild, crazy idea that the game actively supports. They just need to flip a switch. And this is one of them.
Yeah, it would be interesting. It's nice as well that your buddy can collect those tappables, so you haven't got to collect them all. It'd be interesting to see how they appear, if they appear on the map, or if it's just you get them when you spin the stop or something.
It looks like they appear on the map from what I can tell, but it's hard to say. It reminded me of like the Harry Potter stuff that lays on the ground that you collect.
Like the Harry Potter game, to be honest.
Oh, fair.
I loaded it up once to reserve my name, and that was it. Never touched it again.
I haven't played it in a few months, but I used to play it daily. It's fine, but Pogo is still better.
And obviously, the game's going to keep track of all that stuff that you do as well. So keep track of how many tappables you collected, and there's a route badge as well that will track how many routes you completed, how long it took you, how many times you did that route, and that sort of thing. It might be similar to the gym badge system, where you can it will track that route a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be interesting to see how that works. But I'm sure there'll be a badge for number of routes completed as well.
Yeah, like there's probably a badge, like the higher level badge, and then like these tiny badges like show you how long it took you, like kind of like so you can beat your time and things like that. I don't remember if it shows like other people's times. I don't remember seeing anything about that, but that would be cool if that was added.
Or maybe just a personal best time.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I feel like that would just get filled with spoofers immediately, so that's probably why they don't do it.
That is a good point. But yeah, the routes seem really interesting. It's one of those features that I was really hoping for to come out in the summer, because it's going to suck if this thing comes out in the middle of Canadian winter and it's like, I'm not going outside. it's a cool way, I think, to like engage with, you know, stops and more than just like, oh, I go to a stop and I spin and I get a quest. You know, maybe there's a rocket there. I couldn't find, it's been several months, but I could have sworn I remember there was like an end reward for routes as well. Like when you complete the route, you get a Pokemon encounter, like a specific end. Mm. And I couldn't find that in our teardowns or texts and things like that. So I didn't want to officially include it, but I do remember that it's somewhere... Yeah, was mentioned. So maybe you get like special Pokemon, and like there's a special like Pokemon move or a pool. That also could just be me being fake news and misremembering. So take that with a grain of salt.
That is the thing. Like, we do look at a lot of stuff, and occasionally we can think, I swear I saw that, and then realize we never actually saw that. We just assumed it was there.
Yeah.
So we try to reference as much as we can, but occasionally, you know, we do get things wrong. That does happen, but.
Yeah, and we try to
try
and call ourselves out when we're wrong, because there's a lot of speculation that can happen with stuff that we do, and so it's hopefully not spreading misinformation, but it's spreading new information that is giving you guys a heads up over what's coming and better in-depth understanding of how the game works, because so many things in the game mechanics just are not explained publicly.
It's fine. They've got the new tips on the loading screen now, so that will explain everything you need to know.
That is actually like as funny as it is to make fun of it. Like it's stuff like that like it's nice for new players just that have no idea what's, you know, going on or broken and things like that, or things that they think are broken, but it's not broken. That's just how the game works. So I'm glad they're doing it, and it's, you know, it's better than looking at the same text every time you boot up. It's like, oh, what text am I going to get today? But yeah, so with routes, there's also there was mentions of getting postcards while you're on a route, and we always thought that these postcards were related specifically to routes, but there was a whole new postcard system added in 2.2.1, and this system doesn't specifically reference routes at all. It seems to be completely separate, but the fact that they're called the same thing, you get postcards from Roots, might be the same thing, might be related. It's also possible that Roots, because it's so old, there hasn't been any updates to it, it's possible that they're redoing that entire system and we'll get an update, you know, in the future that redoes a lot of the Roots stuff that we've seen, and then this new postcard system will be directly linked to it. But right now, postcards are separate. So postcards you get from stops. When you spin stops, you'd get a postcard. You get an inventory for that postcard, and you can add a sticker and a gift to it, which makes us think that this might be either an addition or replacing the current gift system where you'd actually send postcards to people and those postcards would have gifts attached to them, or it could just be another way to send gifts and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because if you look at the current gifts, like, they basically already have a postcard attached to them.
Yeah, true.
So it does feel like maybe it's just going to be an addition to what's already there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they do feel very postcardy-like. And I think Niantic even explained when they came out with gifts, they're like, oh, we wanted the feeling to be like you getting a postcard from someone when you're like on a trip or something. So yeah, that's a good point. You can favorite postcards and then delete them from your inventory. You favorite them so you don't delete them. So it won't let you delete them, just like you... like with Pokemon, so you can like keep ones that people send you that you really like. So that's kind of cool, because that's one of the things that people complain about with the gift system, is that they get a cool gift, like from GoFest or something like that, and they don't want to send it, and they don't want to delete it, and then when they receive it, they don't want to open it, because then they would, you know, lose the special meaning of it. So this way you could save those postcards, which is kind
of
cool.
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends who have saved stops from GoFest and that sort of thing, and it's just like they just got this gift permanently sat there that they never want to touch.
Yeah, they're cool mementos, which there's no real way to save them right now, so hopefully that fixes that. And postcards can be multiple types in the code. Right now the only type is a memento type, so maybe they would add other types, like event based or collection based, or, you know, however they want to do it. But right now, it does support that to be multiple types, but it's kind of cool. If they make gift sending faster with this, that would also be welcomed. But
I would love just a gift, or like, I don't care what gift they get, just send them a gift.
Is that what Harry Potter's or is it just a button on the main screen? I think I don't remember.
Harry Potter, I don't think, has a gift at all, but it is just a one tap send a gift, which is, you know, great.
Yeah, it's so much better. But yeah, it's just mass sending gifts would be so useful. I guess one thing I was just thinking, like, for me, when I'm sending gifts and stuff like that, I'm always checking the friendship level to see if I'm about to like level up with someone. And I guess if I just like randomly do send gift, it could report like, oh, hey, you just leveled up with these many people, you should put on a lucky egg or something. But that'd be cool. There's nothing to clarify, there's nothing to support any of this. This is just us speculating.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, one of the last things to talk about, power up stops. This is another one that wasn't really hasn't been updated in a while. But do you want to talk about this one as well?
Yeah. So we kind of noticed that a while ago they stopped adding stuff for the power up Pokestops. The ability to they're still in the code, and you know, they power them up. You still do with the AR scans and the lucky spins and that sort of thing. You still got your four levels, which will get you extra rewards and special power up spawns. So like Lores, the Magnetic and Glacial Lores and stuff, they have their own spawn pool that they would use, so you could get some interesting stuff at high level stops.
Mm-hmm.
And on the gyms you would get extra premier pools for completing raids on them, although it is temporary, and you'll see like a bar and a timer counting down to how long is left on the power up on the Pokestop, and you need to keep doing that AR scanning to keep it powered up. Now, one thing that is interesting as well is there's an update coming to the way submissions are handled in Go 2, which would limit your AR scanning and only give you a certain amount per day. So that would also be interesting to see how that change would work with this. So this feature is still coming.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh yeah, or if this feature is not coming now. While it was never in the code, I personally speculated that this would be a way of increasing spinning distance from stops. And the fact that that is now a permanent feature could have affected this coming live. It could still come as it exactly was, But that could be a thing that is maybe made it change or not happen at all, or it might just be it's not going to go live for a little while, but we'll see on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It could just be completely scrapped. They've updated the assets a few times, but not anytime recently. So like Roots, it's just kind of sat there for a while. But the AR scanning, if I remember correctly, is it it's like in accretion, where it's like you only get a certain amount of day, but if you don't use them from like the previous day, it like will add up to like the 14 days that it is now. So like you could still get like whatever it is every 2 weeks. Like, is it 14 per, I don't even know what it is. Is it 14 per 2 weeks right now, which is, I guess, is one a day?
You get, whenever you submit a stop, 14 days later, you'll get that one back effectively. But that system is changing. I'll just load it up quickly and we can have a quick talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I remember seeing it was like basically the same thing, but like it just added them at a different point. But maybe I'm just completely wrong on that.
Yeah, so the new way it will work is instead you'll get daily accruals and everything. So nominations, you'll get a new nomination each day and you can have 40 maximum stored. Edits, you'll get 2 a day and again 40 maximum. Description edits, another 2. Location edits is 1. Photo submissions is 2. Abuse reports is 2. And then AR scanning is 10 daily and 200 maximum. So, with the power up, focus up stuff and limiting how much you can AR scan is kind of doesn't work together, but.
Yeah, true. And so there's no accrual then. It's just that flat 10 a day or whatever.
So it does accrue. But there is a maximum, so you can accrue 10 daily and store up to 200.
Sorry, I missed that. Okay, cool. Then, that kind of conflicts with, unless the power-up Pokestop, unless that's their way of, like, not having every single stop powered up all the time, right? You'd have to, like, choose which ones you want to, like, really power up and, like, focus on that or make a bunch of alt accounts. Yeah. Interesting. So yeah, we'll see if anything comes from that. And then the last thing, that this was in 2.2.1, and there's very, very little information to go off here. And this was a lot of us digging to see if we could figure anything out. The facts of what's in the code right now is that a new ad structure was added. And it's specifically for like ad campaigns to get ads from different sources. So the first source is the Google Ad Manager source that tries to get a campaign from Google Ad Manager. And it's just, you know, if you've used Google Ads, it's probably just that to pull Google Ads instead of them like having to specify and create ads. And so ads can be dynamic, ads can be location-based, things like that. You know, they could, you know, do all that fun stuff that normal ads do, I guess, on the website. But the other type of ad that was added was called Wasabi. And that's the only thing we have in the code is it was Wasabi ad campaign. And doing a lot of digging around on the internet, there isn't really any company that is Wasabi and ads related. So it could be a code name for something. It could be something completely different. But the only company that we could find that was Wasabi and ad related was this event company that does branding advertisements primarily for outdoor events. So you would go to them and they would do like an ad campaign and branding for like banners, stands, things like that. So, you know, it would make logical sense in our mind that you would go to, say, like a GoFest and they could do either ads or the branding on, like, you know, on like the posters, on like the pop-ups with the pictures and where you do like photo bombs and things like that with like Willow cutouts and stuff like that. So they could have a say in that. And then those ads that exist in the park could then mirror the same ads that are in the game. And the ads that where these ads show up in the game is in balloons. Balloons for Wasabi and Google Ads. It's probably just the exact same, you know, sponsored balloons that people have seen for a while now. But also these ads were added specifically to raids and gyms. My opinion of logical place is that screen they added in the raid stadium is just a empty blue logo of the raid logo. Like, that's like an ideal location for an ad.
I can fully see me doing a raid at a Verizon gym and having the Verizon logo there. And you know what? That's fine. That doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. That's not an issue. It's if we get actual ads in the game, that's when it would start to become a bit of an issue.
Yeah, so it's a little hard to say exactly what this is for. There is a connection with this Wasabi company and their event-based thing. So, like, you go to a GoFest and like, these raid ads would line up with that. It could be completely for something else. It could be a code name for something. It could be maybe there's a lot of companies called Wasabi, obviously. It could be, like, maybe a specific company that they're partnering with that they will advertise. But it's weird that they would have, like, you don't see that for, like, Verizon and all these other, like, sponsored stops and things like that. It's weird that they would hard code a specific ad sponsor like this. It's interesting. We'll see what happens from this. Maybe you pay a subscription to not have to pay for to pay for these ads. I would hope at the very least, if there's a subscription service coming, it comes with ad free support, because that would not be nice to pay and still get ads.
But then, would ad free support mean removing sponsored stops? Because would you want those to go from your screen?
They can stay. They're just they get a big X through them, and they just give you the items anyway. No, I guess sponsored stops are a little bit different, because those are based on physical, like, stores and locations, right? It's the random ad balloons and the, like, random ads in, like, in raids that would, like, not really be tied to anything. I guess that would be where I would hope this subscription would come in, but we'll see. Cool. Anything else to add on that, I guess, before we start to wrap this up?
No, I don't think so.
Cool. Well, this was a lot longer than a half hour, so we'll aim for other episodes to be shorter than this. But thank you all for listening as we try out this podcast format. So let us know what you think. If this was a good format, if you like what we talked about, if there's things that you want to hear us talk about more that we didn't cover. So you can email us, PokeminersOfficial@gmail.com. You can tweet us at @Poke_Miners. Discord, you can get to that from pokeminers.com/discord, or just check out our site as well. Lots of different ways and places that we're at, and you can yell at us for things. And if you want to support us at all, if you like what we do and you want to say thank you, we do have a Ko-fi page that takes donations. If you want to donate anything, much appreciated, but no one is obligated to. We do this for fun. We do this for the love of the game. But if you do want to say thank you, that's how you do it. So I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so. Like you said, this one was a bit long, but we had a lot to go through and catching up on stuff that we haven't reported on. So next time will just be new stuff pretty much. So hopefully a lot shorter.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. See you later.